Tonight is Sunday, April 21st in the year 2024. I'm in Laramie, Wyoming today, and in a really cool little B&B. Real surprise. This is like something you'd see out of like a James Bond movie or something, because you drive in and it's in a trailer park, and it's very nondescript trailer park. There's some rough places around here too, and it's got a fenced-in yard. And then you walk into this double-wide mobile home, and you're like, what did I just walk into? It's got like this massive, beautiful tub, this beautiful master bedroom, incredibly detailed out, all Wyoming theme. It's like a whole nother world. It's like you walk through a dimension. It's really cool. And the puppies, now they're happy. They're outside right now. In fact, they're hanging out in the fenced-in yard, sleeping and barking at the cat that keeps trying to steal their food, which I warned the cat already that if he comes in and tries to steal the food, I take no responsibility for the savage beating he will receive by two Tibetan Mastiff puppies that will not put up with it. But that we will that we will see. But they did great today. We did about 4 hours of travel, 4.5 hours of travel today. I left from North Platte yesterday, or this morning, actually this afternoon. I left at around noon, and then we got into Laramie about 4:30 and had our one stop over at Love's Truck Stop for another walk in the dog parks. That has got to be the coolest thing ever, seriously. What Love's has done, Love's Truck Stops, and I think I mentioned this before, has created, and for dog owners, I guess you all know this, this is, since I'm now a new dog owner of two, you learn these things quickly. They have these fenced-in areas for dog walking. You can walk your dog all over the place, but they have these fenced-in areas, which are pretty nice. Today, this one had somewhere in between. Must have been in Cheyenne. No, it couldn't have been Cheyenne. It was somewhere in between La Platte. No, I know where it was. Sydney, which is another story we'll talk about in a minute. Sydney, Nebraska. And they had two of them, actually. So we have the Mastiffs on one side, and these two truckers brought out their little dachshunds, which was like the barking war, which is kind of comical. The little yappers against the big Mastiffs. So, but it's, they're nice. They're doing great. They have the, like I've told you, the whole back seat of the Jeep, and they've been sleeping all day, and they're sleeping now. They played all day. They started at 5:30 this morning and played all day, and then they've been exhausted. So that's a good way to do a trip with puppies, I'll tell you right now. All right, so before we get going, make sure that you're doing all you can with food preparations. My Patriot Supply is one of our great sponsors and ensures that you're going to get what you need for the food preparations for emergency food. Right now they're pushing, they're promoting the four-week emergency food kit at $50 off. And you'll find that at preparewithbards.com. Preparewithbards.com. These are put in buckets. Everything's wrapped in four-layer packages. It's got 25-year shelf life, and the buckets, all these kind of survival buckets have handles on them, so you can literally grab and go, which is awesome, and you need to have that. It's all part of your survival food package, an emergency food package, not knowing what is going to come up upon us at any time. And definitely want you want to be prepared. We are in a crazy time. And whether it's an EMP or whether it's weather or whether it's fire, tornadoes, whether it's an earthquake, you know, who knows? But none of these things are out of the question anymore. And even social instability. Oh, look who just came in. Ezekiel just came in to check on me. So I've got the front door open. So he's walking in and out to make sure everything's safe. So anyway, it is a good thing to do. So head on over to preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com, and pick up your four-week emergency food kit, $50 off, and you will not be disappointed. There you go. So really honest, I mean, I sat here today and I was really, as I was driving along saying, like, you know, what are we going to do tonight's show on? It's Expedition Cafe, and I just kind of want to talk about this trip a bit. And it's a different trip for me, because this trip has taken me to places I don't normally go. Typically on my trips, I push hard to go from one point to another, especially going across country. And I found even going out, getting it done in 3 days is brutal. And when you're traveling 12 plus hours a day, it's exhausting. And you don't fare well anymore. I don't do those drives like I used to. And not that I ever enjoyed them, but the countryside is... We have a lot of country in our nation, more so. And if you haven't driven it coast to coast, and I've driven quite a bit with the Bards Fests, and more so even over my life, our country is a beautiful land. It's and it literally is, like they say, from sea to shining sea. And it's amazing different terrains and amazing long distances that we travel. And the roads that go through, especially as we're traveling through some of the Midwest, they are very long, but each area has its own unique beauty. And so this trip coming out, when I came out to the Eclipse event, my stays were over at Marriott's, which is typically as I've done things. I do things in, just because for years I've spent time focused on traveling and being efficient with hotels, and so I've built up an incredible number of nights. I think when I checked today, I've spent something like 910 or 920 nights in Marriott's, which is insane. And that's since 2000, basically since 2008, I think, something like that, which is an amazing number of nights that I've spent. And the advantage to that when you're traveling is that you have a consistency, so you know what to expect and what to... You know, when you're going into a Marriott, whether it's going to be here in the States or if it's going to be over in Seoul, South Korea, if it's going to be, you know, somewhere else, you know what to expect in those hotels. And that may sound boring, but like when I flew into UK and I was doing some work over there, and you're staying in a Marriott, you know the layouts of the room. And it's convenient because you know that you're going to get certain Wi-Fi hookups, you know how the desks are going to be. And it's easy when you're doing this sort of business travel. It's the consistency is good, and it's easy to check in and out. And obviously, all the details are pretty much left for them to clean up. This trip coming back with the puppies, I was advised, as I've shared earlier this week, highly recommended by Leah Faith Svensson, to follow then do the Airbnbs. And so I've not done them before. And it's been an entirely new experience, but it's been really amazing because what you walk into now, one, you're going into towns that otherwise I would never go into. I'm seeing part of America that I don't normally see. You're in neighborhoods and in places like this here, a place that I wouldn't normally go. And you're also seeing the creative touch that people have and the pride that they take in these homes that they're putting out there for people to stay in. And it's really nice. It's a really neat side, a neat face of America. All of the places I've stayed in, the owners are just super friendly and super caring and super kind. The first one I stayed at was in Champaign, Illinois. And a really nice couple. Didn't get a chance to meet them, but obviously the house they had was perfect and big backyard for the pups, and which was a lot of, it was a nice beginning and really kind of get my feet wet on this bit. The second place I stayed in was in Des Moines, and I mentioned that the other night that the owner and the owners came over and spent time just to see the puppies. She had had a Newfoundland. And just a really lovely place. And this the time that people have taken to decorate these and the details that they've gone to. And it's just a real expression. And they're wanting to show not only themselves, but they're wanting to show the best of who they are in their states. And that's what's really cool, is each of the places have taken on a character of where you are. And that's unique. And it also shows a lot of real pride within the nation and pride within the state and locale where people live. I've been really impressed with the whole experiences here and the response that people give. Again, the cleanliness and the detail of what these Airbnbs represent. And I think as I was actually not a big fan of Airbnbs when they first started. But as I've come to see what they're about, it's really one of the coolest ways to travel the country, because you're not only getting into local places, but you're getting to see the local character of who people are. I'm sitting here looking at a wall of old wanted signs. And let's see what we have on the wall. We have Harry Loganbaugh. We have Kinch McKinney. We have Tom Horn. And Robert Leroy Parker. All of these people were wanted. Robert, these are old posters that were reprinted. And it just makes up this whole wall. And this is all Wyoming, right? And across the wall, we've got a reward sign for Dead or Alive for Billy the Kid, $5,000. And this wall here, each of these people ranges from $1,000. Oh, they've got a $5,000 reward. Let me see if I can get these. $4,000 reward. For Robert Leroy Parker, for Tom Horn, it's $5,000. For Harry Lordenbrow, $4,000. And for Kinch McKinney, it's $500. He apparently isn't worth much. And then there's another wall of the other wanted posters. This is just a very cool sense of bringing up the old part of Wyoming. And it gives you the reflection of how we used to be and kind of the sense of the Wild West as it once was. And in the process, there's a lot of time to travel, to pay attention to the road. The distances are a little shorter. There's more intentional stops with the pups, which is good. And so one of those stops today was Sydney, Nebraska. Now, if you've not heard of Sydney, it's an important town to know about. And Sydney is a town where it was the headquarters of Cabela's. And when Cabela's came in to Sydney, it set up its headquarters. There was a big boon in the town. There was whole subdivisions that were laid out. And the Cabela's there was nice. It's a nice Cabela's. Hotels came in. And there was a lot of businesses, obviously, that sparked up in Sydney. And shortly after that, and it wasn't that long, I'm going to say a couple of years maybe five at most, after Cabela's has kind of set in, Cabela's was bought out. And ultimately it was bought out by Bass Pro. And the first thing that they did was they shut down the headquarters and they moved it, which left all these people that had had their developments in their houses and the subdivisions. So there's whole subdivisions over there that are unfinished, meaning that they're plots of land, but they're not there, no one's buying them. And the houses they were left with high mortgages, but now no job. 60 Minutes did a big piece on this years ago. And as you drive into Sydney, they're great people. I always make a point of stopping there when I'm traveling across Nebraska and stopping into the Cabela's. And the Cabela's is a nice Cabela's. Great people that are working there. But it strikes me as just the damage that gets done by the type of business that we do. Wall Street is an engine that runs our country. And Wall Street is an engine of profit. And it's an engine of exploitation. It's an engine of efficiencies. It's an engine that dehumanizes everything. Everything is about the almighty dollar. And with that, there is no care or concern for the consequences of decisions, especially when they do consolidations. So the purchase of Bass Pro, of Cabela's, was a way to buy out your competition, to lock in the market so it's one company with two brands, and then to consolidate operations so that for the higher efficiency of profits. It wasn't about just a new ownership. It was about literally transforming a competitor into a subordinate. But what was victimized in the process were the people. And it was devastating to Sydney. Sydney's a nice town. There's a freeway side of Sydney, which is where you have the Love's truck stop, and you've got a Pilot truck stop there, and then you've got a little mall, kind of a what was a startup of a little strip malls area around Cabela's, and then you have to go over the hill and down into the valley to get into Sydney proper. But the loss there was hard on people. People that suffered a financial blow when Cabela's was removed, and this is just part of the lack of integrity we have in business. And we compare this to some place like Japan, where this wouldn't be done. CEOs would make sure that the employees were taken care of, and that's just the way that they do business before they do anything else. And unfortunately, that when we take a look at Sydney, and we take a look at, and I'm kind of going along here, and I'm looking at these Airbnbs, and looking at these small towns, and there's a richness in our small towns, great richness. And it's part of what makes America. We're not a standardized culture. We never were supposed to be. But we've become that. We become that with the Walmarts, and we become that with the Cabela's and the Bass Pro. All the uniqueness that was once part of the American landscape has been turned into vanilla. And like they say in marketing, eventually all things become vanilla. And so there's this standardization, and what we get away from, and so that's exactly where I begin, is because a lot of the travel that I've done in the past has been based on this standardization and the consistency, which would be the Marriott brand. Some people look for the Hilton brand or whatever they're going to do, but nonetheless, it's this consistency that we seek when you're traveling. But there's this other side, which is the uniqueness and the character. And this is what I really love about this Airbnb experience, is it's bringing me back to a world that we just don't have much of left anymore. The impact of a big company coming into a town and building up jobs and then suddenly uprooting leaves people with the burden of debt, leaves people with the burden of their houses, and there's no replacement for those jobs. And companies don't do anything to help. They just basically they give people an option, move or have a job, or don't move and don't have a job. So we're literally this trip has become one of juxtaposition. It's one of looking at the older towns and seeing how small town America once was, and seeing at the same time the character of big business that is impersonal. It cares not about uniqueness. It cares only about the monolithic view and perspective that all things will be of the same. And that is to the two Americas that we're now in. I'm talking to the owner of the property this morning. His name is Matt. He lives in Denver, Colorado, just on the outskirts. And he was there this morning at his house. He bought the place in La Platte because it was across the street from his parents. And he's done a beautiful job of remodeling this house. and just a very really comfortable place, a beautiful backyard for the dogs, all fenced in. And he was saying how La Platte was really kind of a nothing little town, and then suddenly now it's starting to grow again. And part of that growth is people leaving the cities. And that's good and that's bad. You, with that, you get, you have the uniqueness, like the little local donut shop that's not a brand name, but then you go down the street and there's a Dunkin' Donuts and there's a Starbucks now, new. And with these incursions of these people in the city, we're bringing in the big brands because that's what they expect, which is unfortunate because so much of the character of a small town is the fact it is unique and it is local. It isn't you're going to get Pike's Roast every single time at every single stop at Starbucks. Instead, it's going to be something local. It's going to be something unique. Maybe it'll even be diner's coffee, which, by the way, just is one of those things that is so much a part of the Americana scene. If you don't have a good diner, find one and have some diner's coffee. Even if you're a coffee snob like I can be, there's something special about a cup of diner's coffee. There's something special about a diner. The concept of a even kind of like a local version of a Waffle House or something, the short order grill concept. I mean, this is America, right? I mean, the truck stops I use loves because there's consistency again, and they have these opportunities for dog walks. But there's many other choices that we can make, and so we have to run this balance between the standardization and at the same time maintaining our uniqueness. In 2017, I did this trip across America, and I just basically referred to it as a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles trip. And I was doing this. I was going to small towns, going off the beaten path, getting away from the main freeways. And it's amazing the histories that we have out here that are just so lost. When you take time to pull over and read these little sites, these little historical markers or lookout points or so forth, you learn so much about who we are, so much that is not taught, so much that we just goes buried and just is in the local history. When you get into the local lore and ask people about the histories and go to the local museums and you start learning about what's going on there. There's a town called White Sulphur Springs up in Montana. It's north of Bozeman. And there's an old train rail line that runs into part of that. And it was part of a way back when White Sulphur Springs had these sulfur springs, which were people used for healing. They would go there specifically to sit in these baths and to become healed. And just down the way, there's a small town. It's not even hardly a town anymore. All that's left in this town is the end of a rail spur. And there is at this time, there's an old church that has been turned into a wedding place. I talked to that couple. This was years ago. But this is back in 2017. The couple had moved in from, they were woke. They came in from Denver. They bought the property. They were turning the church into a wedding facility to rent out. And then there was this one diner. It was a pub and bar. It served steak. That was their thing. In fact, their steak was so well known that people would drive hours and over a couple hours from Bozeman to get there. But what was that town originally? It was the place that Barnum and Bailey would bring their animals in the off season to have them be there, and then they would travel over to White Sulphur Springs to do the cures in these sulfur springs, and that's how that town started. These sorts of histories are integral to understand who we are as a nation and to really see the patternings of things. I mentioned this before in my own small town and just going into the location of where the original Veterans Cemetery is and just to walk the head markers and read what's on them. And it's stunning because literally you find the markers that take us back to the late 1800s and it's the American Indian War. And from this one area in my county, every single war, from the American Indian War all the way through to Iraq and Afghanistan, every war, including Panama, Grenada, everything is has a marker on it. Somebody from that town has paid or was involved in that. It's amazing to me. It gets us into the richness of who we are as a people, right? So I drive in here today, and this is not a place I would normally drive into. I'm just gonna be very honest. It's a trailer park, and there's some nice trailers and there's some rough ones. But then you come up in this place and it just looks like a normal little trailer, and you open the door and it's like you walk into another world. And I just sat there today and I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. I mean, there's this beautiful, huge, like, it's instead of a clawfoot, it's a modern version of a clawfoot tub. Double sink in the master, and they've got a gas stove in the kitchen. The beautiful floors in here, and you just feel like you're in another world. And that's all because someone took the time and the care to take something on the outside, and that looks average, and turn something and turn it on the inside to be something purely beautiful. And I think there's something very biblical in that, and it's something very American in that, and what we do. Same with this house that, and I was at yesterday in La Platte. You drive up and it looks very nondescript. It's just kind of it's a ranch style home, one level. It's a brick outer. We've seen these homes, very kind of low pitch roof, and a chain link fence on the outside. It looks very just what kind of what you would expect from about a 1950s suburbia model. Brick, right? And you walk in and it's completely been redone. Wainscoting, beautiful floors, furniture that's been well thought out. The beds are amazingly comfortable. The kitchen's all modernized. It has a farm sink. Beautiful little cubby for the stove that's built in kind of a brick arch. It just is really amazing. So this is, again, it's watching America, seeing America from the inside, and almost like seeing America from the inside out. And it's such a beautiful statement to who we are as a nation, because none of this has any touch with the political nonsense that's going on. This is just people putting together a theme in a place. It doesn't matter where they are. And we see the different characters and the expressions of who they are. And they're proud of these places. They love them. The place that I stayed in Des Moines, I mean, this is something these people really, this couple really loved. It was her house before she was married. And it's in such an interesting neighborhood. It's in the old part on the edge of downtown of Des Moines, which is another amazing city. And I don't know Des Moines well, other than, as I mentioned the other night, you walk in and there's the state capitol. It's like, who built the state capitol? And I'm really serious. I mean, you look at it and you're like, that doesn't match any architecture around here. It's, if you follow the stuff of like Tartarian Empire, it looks like that intricacy, old Russian style detail. Beautiful, beautiful place. Makes you wonder, like, what was here before? What was actually here, right? Turning it into a state capitol now. And so you get in, drive into this rather large home, wealthy area. And these are large homes now that have kind of from craftsman style to modern style homes, estate type feel as you're driving into this area. And you make this turn and there's a small cottage that's tucked in the middle of all these big homes. And it was hers. And it's got such a old school character to it, which is what it was. And so beautifully done. And just the sense of personal pride, which is something we struggle with so much in our nation right now. And that is where I leave this trip as I'm continuing on. I'm going on to Ogden, Utah tomorrow, and then I'm headed up to Pendleton, Oregon. Hang on just a second. We have a little problem, but be right back. Sorry about that. The dogs decided that they were going to turn the rug into a tug-of-war chew toy, and that would be Ezekiel trying to take his outdoor play environment into the living room and encourage his sister to do tug-of-war on a rug, which would be a big no. And so as he looks at me with this, like, oh, you caught me, I'm going to run away. And so they're outside running in the yard and doing whatever they're going to do. Kids, what can I say? They're kids. Thank goodness there's no mud, because I guarantee if there was a spot of it the size of a dime, they would find it and roll in it and put every paw in it, and then they would come in running to show me how proud they were that they were covered in mud. So anyway, I mean, this trip has really been a real uplifting trip in this nature, and I think this is part of the gift. I would call it part of the gift that God gave. The two little rascals here are fun, and they bring a tremendous amount of joy, and I'm enjoying them more every day, and getting the character, and I'll talk more about them in a minute, but the process of this, having to change the way I travel, and I came prepared to camp, in fact. I have a really nice new canvas tent that I bought, American-made, made down in Utah, and was counting on using it, but with the timing of setting things up and kind of getting used to the puppies, it just wasn't very practical at this point in time. And that'll be another trip, and we will do it. But they're not good at recall at this point in time. Fencing is necessary, especially on the Tibetan Mastiff. They tend to not to be really good at recall. And so these were all kind of decisions that went into changing the nature of the trip, which has been just, in the end, very outstanding. And so we come back to this place of who are we as a nation? And what I'm discovering is that we're actually doing pretty well. A lot better than we realize. We're just not able to see it as easily. We have a lot of problems in our country. And obviously when we're talking about something like Airbnb, you're talking about a upper cut of America. We're not delving into the depravity of America, but each one of these places reflects the soul of a nation and the spark of a nation that has hope, has excitement about where they live, loves building a place that they can be proud of and wants to share it. And that's the biggest part of all of this, is every one of these places, people are eager to share it. They want to show you what they've done. They want to show you these places that are there. It's nothing like I expected, because I looked at them pretty much like kind of just another version of hotels, people just wanting to make money. I haven't had that impression once. In the place in Des Moines, for whatever reason, I was the night rate was actually really good. The rate we got was 169, and it was usually like 279. And for some reason, my card was charged 199, and the owner immediately contacted me. Just the integrity. It's like, Scott, I think her name is Julie. She says, Scott, when I was overcharged, I'll leave the money on the counter. I just told her not to worry about it. The place was so nice and so clean. It's encouraging, is where this comes down to. It's encouraging to see this part of America and this way of America. This place I'm at in Laramie is south of Laramie. It's not even in Main Laramie. And in fact, I haven't even been to Main Laramie. I need to go at some point. I may take a drive through tomorrow just on my way out. But this is south of Laramie. And so there's a Love's truck stop just over the where I stopped this evening. There's a Pilot truck stop. There's a couple motels here. This is kind of a trucker's hub here. And behind all of that is where this trailer park is. And the trailer park's clean. It's nothing. Like I said, some are sharp, some are rough. But then as you step into these places, everything transforms when you walk across that threshold into the home. And it's just given me a lot to think about, especially as I've gone along and I've really been digging in hard to the Book of Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Had a long conversation today on the road with Pastor Travis Graham, who I really was just really my roots in ministry. And we had a great conversation. And just reflecting a lot on who we are as a nation. Looking at the challenges that they're having in the small town politics, which are the same as the big city. This is in Thomaston, Georgia, which is a small town. But at the same time, as we watch the corruption of leadership, we watch the heart of America come awake and to step into the better part of who we are. And the Airbnb, I think, reflects that insanely and in a beautiful way. Hang on just a second.
Leave it. Thank you, boys and girls.
Sorry. We're having a further discussion about this rug. And they seem to be very interested in it. But anyway, life has changed. The podcast now has the character of two rambunctious little children running around. So, anyway, all that to say, we need to be looking. We need to also dig sometimes to find the goodness of who we are. You know, 2 Kings and 1 Kings and 2 Kings speak very deeply to the relationship in God and the consequence of being outside of Him. Those two books have had a very profound effect on me this trip, and that was discussed yesterday in the program with Apostle Greg Davis. It was discussed last night in Gospel of Peace with Michelle Svensson. It was brought up today, even in some of the prayers that I was doing and in invoking the mantle of Ezekiel, or Elijah, excuse me, about Elijah. I'm looking at Ezekiel. And they really like that rug. I wonder must be like a skin or something on it that they like. Anyway, those are profound impacts. And there is a decisiveness in our life that I think that we need to have, that I think frees us. And this is where I kind of want to bring things to tonight. When we live in a middle place where everything is vanilla, and that includes where we accept the corporate monoculture, that everything is going to be the same, that we always want, whether it's staying at a Marriott all the time, whether it's shopping at Walmart, whether it's shopping at Cabela's, whether it's shopping at Bass Pro, Home Depot, Lowe's, Costco. If you've shopped at any of them, you can map it in your mind what every single one of those stores will be like. There's nothing new under the sun. And if one's going to have a sale, they're all going to have a sale. If one's going to have a new product introduction, they're all going to have a new product introduction. If you're looking for the gun section in Cabela's, it's going to be typically on the left side, though it might be on the right side in another one, but you know basically where it's going to be in relationship, either the left or the right, and in the back. You're going to know that. Everything is going to have a consistency. And ultimately, it just promotes a numbness in who we are. And I think that's a big part of what we're losing in this modern America. We have to get to a place where we start to rebuild the character. And that's when we start to build out these alternative economies and getting back to buying local. There's an Ace Hardware store in my town that I shop at. It's down off of Stevens Street, across the street from the Safeway. It is the greatest place in the world. It is packed, so full of stuff, you can hardly move around in there. They have cast iron pots and washboards, hand washboards, hanging from the ceiling. They have every screw under the sun, every bolt, every washer you could ever imagine. They have hammers. They have screwdrivers. They have paint. They have sealant. They have fly traps for cattle. They have flashlights. They have knives. You name it. If you need it for a fastener or for a part, or you need paint or thinner or any of these things, you're going to find it. And you're not going to find it yourself. Typically, you go in and you ask for somebody to help you. And if you bring in the most crazy screw and you put it on the counter, they'll look at it and say, "I'll be right back." And they'll come in and they'll say, this is it, or this will do because it's as close as we have, but this will work for you. And if you really need something, they can say, "We can special order it." They don't use computers. Everything is hand tallied. And they add it up on a computer and they give you a handwritten receipt and they put it in a paper bag. I love that place. And that's where I shop as much as I can. When we go into Cabela's or we go into PetSmart, every time you're going to get the same questions at the end. Do you have an account with us? Can we have your phone number? And even the other day, it was so creepy when I was at PetSmart before I left on the trip getting some food for these two. They literally typed in my, I was signing up for an account, so they were typing in my driver's license or something, and it came back and said it was wrong. I'm like, how did you even know that? It already had me somewhere in the system somewhere. The old world is a wonderful place, and those old characters and the uniqueness of places. I swung in today to get my coffee at a local donut shop in La Platte. Unfortunately, they were closed. And that's where we have to get back to, because that's where the true character of America is. It's the individual, the small mom and pops that make the difference. It's what gave us character. It's what gave us the uniqueness. And it's what gives us life. Somewhere along this trip, I was between Des Moines and La Platte on the left side of the freeway, somewhere in, about halfway in between. There was a church. I've never seen a church like it. It's the most beautiful church I've ever seen in my life. I don't even know if it's used or if somebody just built it to put there to be a monument. It has a beautiful hand-carved cross up front with some ornate features on it. And the building behind, as it sits on this hill, it's a 2.5-story building that is literally just like big, heavy framing of window framing, glass, window framing, and glass. That's it. Structurally, it looks almost fragile, and yet it is all just basically wood and glass. It's gorgeous. Wide enough, about the size of a double set of doors, and then like maybe 3 panels of glass each side. Narrow, tall, beautiful, the light coming through. That's uniqueness. But then you drive into and you see the other churches, and they all just kind of look the same. They're just brick after brick, and many of them just look like, you know, nondescript buildings built for the efficiencies, no character. And that's what we're missing, is we're missing the character when we go into these monocultures. The challenge we have right now is this exodus from the cities that are coming into these small towns. On one hand, it's good because it's bringing lifeblood into towns that are otherwise would have been dying. But unfortunately, what comes with it is the baggage of people from the cities that want their Starbucks and they want their convenience and they want those names and brands. And they bring with it not the desire to be part of a small town, but the desire to escape the disasters which they created. The small town America is rich. It's rich in its beauty and its texture and its glory. And ultimately, this is where we get to this place of having to look deep within our heart as a nation and asking ourselves some hard questions. And that is truly what happens when we step into a world where it's vanilla versus a world that says you're either with me or against me, meaning God says you're either with me or against me. The Christendom of our day, as one, has become very much about vanilla. It's about mixing the evil with the light and trying to attract more people. It's always about some new gimmick. I saw something the other day. I mean, someone sent me this image of a pastor who's now been replicated in AI that can speak in every version, speaks in a different language, and they're all excited about the fact that now they can expand the ministry digitally and it can be this person, but they're speaking, looks just like them, but it's an AI-generated version of them, and they're speaking in a different language. Why? Why are we doing this? And why are we feeding that beast? Why are we not just sending out somebody to go meet with somebody and sit down face to face? We're losing that component. And if we're so desperate to try to come up with the gimmicks, we're not getting around to the basics. Little Leah and Abigail have a show, which is airing now on Resistance Chicks and Barnes FM Rumble on Thursday nights at 8:30 Eastern. These two young ladies are on fire for Jesus. You're not going to find smoke machines, and you're not going to find gimmicks. You're not going to find giveaways. You're not going to find some sort of pole dancer like they just did at the men's conference at Springfield. You're going to find just the word and the love of the word. And ultimately, that is where we get to in America, which is we try so hard to make things better. Sometimes the basics and the fundamentals is all we need to do, because that in itself has just so much life and character. Small town America, there's a lot of life and character. There's a lot of uniqueness in people. It's time like today when the owner of the I had asked Matt, the owner of the Airbnb, if I could stay at checkout a bit later. His checkout time was 10 a.m. And I said, well, I run a ministry, and on the mornings, on Sundays, we do prayer and healing. And if it's okay, would it be all right if I leave at noon? And he wrote back and he said, Scott, I don't need to get into the house. I do need to come by in the garage. We have a garage opener. And to turn on the sprinklers, I hope that's okay. And we'll make sure we don't interrupt your prayer and healing. That was cool. And I was like, wow, that's America. Respect thy neighbor, love thy neighbor. That's the real heart of America. We need that. We won't survive without it. And it's here. It's in many places. It takes many forms. But we have to have the courage to step out. And I think what this trip of all so far has just really pounded home is this is the stepping out. This is breaking away from the corporatocracy and stepping into the richness of the uniqueness of each of us. This is... Yeah, there's an organized group called Airbnb that you pay a fee to because they help get a centralized booking. But every one of these places is unique. They're all set up to be comfortable. Everyone, I want every one of them, unlimited coffee and water and snacks and washers and dryers and really nice stuff all filled in. And again, it's just the pride people take. And so I asked myself a question as I'm going through first and second Kings. And I did Joshua on the way out, and I'm going back through first and second Kings before I continue on. And I asked myself a question. It's like, what does this world look like when we live with that intensity of the prophet Elijah, where it's literally you're with me or you're against me? And I came to a pretty simple conclusion today. In fact, what we're missing is when we seek freedom and we seek freedom, we're not getting freedom. We're actually getting enslavement because our freedom is taking the form of vanilla. But when we're dedicated to God and we're understanding that we're either with him or against him, that we're living truly with him at the intensity and the consequence of being outside of him, we discover something within all of that. We discover true freedom and liberty. It's what builds our character. It's what expands our expression. It's what enlightens us and empowers us and drives us to go to new levels. And the lie that we've been living is somehow that freedom is defined by big box brands and standardized corporate labels. When in fact, the true sense of liberty has always been in the uniqueness of the gifts in which we're given and the expression which we each put into those to bring out ultimately the character of God. Not one place I've been has been openly faith-based, and yet every one of these places I can say that I have been feels like God is present in every place. It feels that good. And not one of them is the same. So, America needs a lot more Jesus. But each one of these places is a seed that grows a forest in its neighborhood. We need a lot less corporations. We need a lot less standardized brands. We need a lot more uniqueness and the character of who we are. And that's not only the challenge, but it's the excitement on the horizon which we sit and where we're going. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you today for just these reflections on this trip that we've taken and the journey that we're on here together as we reflect on America that's here and America that's in competition with another type of America that wants to be lifeless and soulless. Father, I'm just going to pray into that soulness and the richness of the uniqueness of the body of America, the character that brings out the best in us, the desire to be hosts and givers, the passion to express our gifts and talents in the places that we live, godliness and cleanliness, those expressions to come through in the places that we share. And in this example, it's been these Airbnbs, but it's here, it's around us, it's the excitement of tending to, of being stewards, of reviving a pride in what we own, our steward for the kingdom, and ultimately breaking away from the monolithic culture of corporatocracies that everything is the same, everything smells the same, tastes the same, looks the same, and ultimately deadens us and deadens our soul. So Father, I'm just going to pray a blessing into the uniqueness of each of us tonight. And we declare that uniqueness in each of us tonight to embrace it, to forge it, to polish it, to refine it, to let it surface in the many different ways it will, and that each one of us has the courage to do just that, and to in the process revive an America that otherwise would be drifting away. It's not going to, and we know that, Father, and we're blessed, and with that we just continue to pray for our nation, that it will find the heart of Jesus, that it will find its way to its knees to repent. And we will see a nation rise again, not through the big box stores, but through the uniqueness that each of us carries in its heart, the heart of the kingdom, the heart of Jesus, the heart of you, Father. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. If you take a trip, I would encourage you to do the Airbnb thing. Camping's also cool. That's another, I did that in 2017, camped everywhere. Didn't stay at a hotel once, camped everywhere. And that's a whole nother experience. It's cool because you get to see a lot of things that you wouldn't otherwise see. I had this, I was doing a lot of the free camping too, finding out where all these unique little spots were that you didn't have to pay a fee for every night. And there was some crazy places I ended up. But they're fun, and it's worth it. And it's worth seeing America away from the freeways and seeing America in the heart of the small town and seeing America as it really is. Not the America that's given to us in that 16:9 framing of an HD screen that's limited to a few inches of life in a big city. It highlights the degenerate and doesn't elevate the goodness. Because there's a lot of goodness here still. There's a lot of problems, but there's a lot of goodness. And that's where we need to find it and empower it and pray into it and lift it and declare it in the name of Jesus. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
chasing mountains I can't climb, holding out for heroes in the night. I find myself here in the dark. We learn to fight and learn who we are, but I am raised up to face the stars full of light. And we are wild like a river, wild like the fire in your veins makes you shiver. And I chase the winter out of my mind like a dog in the distance. Out of my mind like the dark in the distance. Why?